Can you go over some of the priorities heading into this first meeting?
Well, Nick, after this past year's experience, the governor wanted to make sure that the state was in the best position should there be a resurgence this fall. And he had delineated three goals, right? And they are pretty straightforward. One, let's make sure our healthcare system is ready and prepared, and let's have a strategy for public health. And then let's also make sure, too, that you've got the resources in place and that, if there is this resurgence, we have in place those PPE measures, that we have a campaign that's necessary for social distancing, that we've got an economic recovery readiness, right, that we're ready. And then the third bucket, basically, because it goes along with our committee structure, is making sure that vulnerable populations have equitable outcomes and have not the disproportionate effects that we have seen, particularly among communities of color where there has been an impact. So again, Executive 39 and order really leads the PRAC, and our whole structure is focused around those three major goals.
And then it's the group's role to give written reports to the governor following its conclusions, correct?
Absolutely, yes. It's and not only just our groups and the subgroups, which again are those three buckets, the economics, the health, and the equity group buckets, but they are comprised of 46 individuals who have vast experience and insight from our period of time from March until now. And also they are going to have the opportunity as we issue those reports to make sure our public is involved and engaged. Because again, any report we put forth, there will be an interim report by the end of July, ideally, and also a final report sometime in September. It's a movable, breathing document. We are taking this day by day, and we will have to have the buy-in with the community and the public.
To your mind, from the public health aspect, the state has worked hard to increase its both its testing capacity, trying to ramp up its contact tracing program and make sure there's PPE available in clinical settings. What, to your mind, needs to happen that isn't already happening?
What you're looking at now, what you're talking about is, those resource measures, right? Making sure we have them and having that health system, right? Our hospitals have stepped up, our nonprofits have stepped up, and we want to make sure that if and when, and I am saying as a public health nurse with Secretary Bullock, who is my co-chair, and he and I both want an open, transparent process to make sure not only that those resources of PPE and a plan with public health and our hospital systems are in place, but making sure that not one single Delawarean who needed access to those services or who needed food who was home in isolation or needed mental health service during this time gets it. Our goal is what we're seeing now. Our goal is a flattening of the curve. And our goal is to keep people out of the hospital, off of ventilators, and ultimately saving Delawareans' lives in our most at-risk groups, particularly communities of color, as we saw in Sussex with our Latino population, our minority population, and also our real vulnerable, our homeless and our nursing home residents.
In respect to shutting down parts of Delaware's economy, if there is a resurgence of the virus, will the group be strategizing different ways to maybe avoid shutdowns and allow businesses to continue if the businesses are taking measures to reduce the spread and sort of, I guess you could say, live with the virus rather than shutting down the entire economy?
Yes, and that is exactly our goal. What you just said is spot on. Ability for us to remain open if we have a resurgence and avoid those broad shutdowns is a priority. But doing it safely and keeping our children safe, our seniors, those with health compromises, safe.
So this is not the first advisory group that you've run on behalf of the governor. I'm referring to the Behavioral Health Consortium. Can you outline, if you can, how the pandemic has affected the efforts of that group and how maybe you're looking to resume combating the state's opioid crisis now that things are starting to open back up?
We have actually continued during this crisis. The Department of Substance Abuse and Mental Health and many of the awesome nonprofits in our state have continued to work with us, with first responders, our hospital systems, our police and others in the community, as we've been dealing with a real increase in mental health and substance use issues. As you mentioned, the Behavioral Health Consortium has continued its work. What we say at the BHC is that we are fighting an epidemic during a pandemic. Our numbers of overdose deaths have risen 30% during this time, and our suicide hotline calls have increased, I'm told, almost 50%. And it has been real challenging. It's been challenging for our persons in social isolation. And a shout out to our frontline health workers, our doctors, our nurses, our individuals manning and working in our grocery stores, our bus drivers. All of them have had increased anxiety and stress. And so we're really working to make sure that people get resources, you know, and our resources are spread thin. So Department of Substance Abuse and Mental Health has created a hope line where people get individual texts. We're encouraging folks to call 211. Myself and Dr. Gibney and others who are part of the Behavioral Health Consortium's Access and Treatment Committee, we have been out on the streets. Not only has she done COVID screening, but also handing out naloxone in our high-risk community and providing mental health services. So that has continued. I don't know what our numbers would be if we had not had a plan like the Behavioral Health Consortium. Our numbers would be even higher than they are with the overdose death rate. So I'm thankful to great community players and volunteers who serve on that Behavioral Health Consortium.
Can you speak as well to surge capacity with the initial outbreak? The state kind of scrambled to set up field hospitals in preparation of a surge beyond what hospitals could hold. But ultimately, those field hospitals were not ever used. Can you speak to, I guess, being prepared for a surge that might exceed hospitals without investing time and effort in setting up facilities that don't get used?
You know, again, that is, you know, we unfortunately don't have that crystal ball for the fall. And that's why it's so important that we have this pandemic resurgence advisory committee, where we do have that health bucket with experts. We know in order to have a healthy economy, you got to have a healthy community. And having capacity and backup plans are critical. Our Office of Emergency Planning and Operations in the Division of Public Health, led through Dr. Carol Rattay, as well as DEMA's leader, A.J. Shaw, will be part of the Pandemic Resurgence Committee. And there are operational plans every day in the state of Delaware for disasters in place. This particular pandemic was more stressful. And to our hospital partners' credit and our federal partners, our local partners and county, we were able to put in place backup surge capacity hospitals or plans for overflow in facilities. Thank goodness our hospitals never reached max capacity, nor did we run out of ventilators and critical care units. I want to make it clear to the public that because we're back in our community does not mean we are completely safe for winter and fall. It is so important. You must social distance. We must wear our masks. We must do these things. We do not, and again, I want to emphasize, do not have a treatment and we do not have a vaccination. And so having the PRAC and the plan in place is only as good as Delawareans and the visitors to our states and the wonderful business community participates and follows these protection guidelines. As a public health nursing professor in my other hat, I can tell you teaching infectious diseases, we will not be able to control in our cold winter the same as we can in the summer with the heat, with the virus. It is really going to be important. The steps we take today will help us in the winter. So we will be, in addition to looking at plans for backup hospitals and ventilators and working with business to keep them open, we will be dealing with educating our community to wear masks, to socially distance.